Thank you. Well, John Acuff is a hard act to follow because I'm very good at overthinking, but it was a good reminder not to overthink. So hopefully you all feel the same way. And I read his book, but his presentation was, he nailed it. So anyway, I'm Karen Nielsen. As Louise said, I oversee internal communications at Toyota, and I am in charge of our One Toyota platform, which is our first sub-platform, and I also oversee content. So kind of wear some extra hats there, but I think those two things go together. And I also wanted to introduce my colleague, David Statham. He's our IT guru, and without him, we wouldn't be able to do all the things that we're doing. So thank you, Dave. And also, he made a joke yesterday about selling Toyota and Lexus cars if anybody wanted to buy them. So you might have heard that yesterday. So we do have low inventory, so I'm not going to push that here. But I will maybe sell my presentation instead. All right, so let's get started. So we like to say that our One Toyota internal communications platform delivers all the communications in one place. That's how we describe it to new people, to existing people. And it keeps you informed wherever you work. And then you also have a community where you can like, share, and comment on the posts. And we've got that desktop version and the mobile app, which is very popular with our manufacturing workers. Just to give you a little background about how it all started, we were going to launch in March of 2020 with a six-month rollout, but like many of you, those plans changed, and it was a six-day rollout, which actually worked really well because, you know, I think people wanted communications, and I feel like that was a really good time for us to get our messages across. It was very adopted very quickly. And then after about a year, we started rolling out to the plants. And so we rolled out to 14 manufacturing locations. And I personally trained all of them myself. They were HR comms managers at those locations. So a little bit different than corporate communications people, but they were committed to communicating at their local sites. So they have sites where they post all of their regional content, and as well as pull in the corporate content that we share with them. So after we rolled out the plants, then we started working with Europe, and we have rolled out to multiple countries in Europe supporting their rollout, and we also have launched in Argentina to their plants and their office workers in Brazil. And currently the platform is being used in 16 different languages. And that's really just the beginning because we have a lot more licenses and we're going to have a continuous rollout happening for years. So. Which is exciting. So right now we have about 80,000, we're approaching 80,000 registered users. We have the capacity for 360,000 licenses. So it's a big job, but I think we're up to the task, right, Dave? All right, so just wanted to talk a little bit about our numbers. Just got to get in sync with my remote here. There we go. So as I mentioned, we have about 80,000 registered users, and these are all-time stats for our platform. We've posted over 21,000 posts, 3 million views, 101,000 shares, 31 million impressions, and then 1 million of earned media value. So we're really proud of those numbers, but I mean, they continue to change daily, so this slide is actually outdated. It's from when we made it. And as all of you know, we internal comms people are facing a lot of challenges, and I don't have to tell you that communicating in a post-COVID environment to our workers is a different challenge than we had a couple of years ago. And you know, we all have to be more nimble. We have to stay connected. We've been consolidating some of our channels since we launched the platform, and then you know, we're also trying to promote the culture and keep the culture alive with our workers working in different places. So we let those data and metrics inform, you know, we find that that's our solution to our problem and our challenges. And it informs everything we're doing, our content ideas, our campaigns, our giveaways, lots of call to action prompts, and then our broadcast and newsletter push strategies. I'm going to talk about next. So since I oversee content, I feel really strongly about our content because we love to tell people stories and product stories. Our goal is to entertain, inform, and engage. So those are always at the top of our mind when we're assigning content. I have a small, you know, team of writers who do they're kind of unicorns now. They produce video, they edit video, they are on camera, off camera. One of them even produces a little show, like I'll talk about that in a little bit. But so we've got a skilled team of people, and you know, we're really lucky that they have the skill set to write and to produce other content. So some of the things that have worked for us, we do live Ask an SME sessions. Like if we have a new product launch, if the Sequoia that just came out, we're looking at doing an SME subject matter expert live session. So team members would submit questions ahead of time, and then we would go live at lunchtime or you know whatever worked with the schedule, but usually at lunchtime, and have those questions being answered live. We also do a feature called What Do You Do Here? It's a Q&A, basically, with anybody across the enterprise who has an interesting job, and then we also try to find people who have interesting side hobbies. So if they're a dog trainer on the side, and they're amazing at being illegal, you know, so we try to put photos in there and showcase team members, and those are very popular. We have a series of Women in STEM profiles that we've been doing over the year and last year. And then the Superfans videos are super fun. We find fans that are just over the top. Maybe they have 14 different, you know, models, reiterations of the FJ Cruiser, and then they are doing crazy things and setting up sessions, you know, in Colorado for people to come out. So they just have really fun stories to tell, and people love those. And then we just have a series of, like, quality, diversity, and safety champions that we're profiling throughout the year since we're really focused on those things at Toyota. So there, you can never underestimate the power of a good campaign, and I think we've gotten pretty good at these. We realized that people love free stuff, and you may have noticed this too. So, and then we realized that we could buy some Lego Supras from the Lego store, because we don't get those for free. And we had the Lego Supras, and we were trying to figure out what to do with them, so we created a campaign around the Lego Supra. And so for the December campaign, we decided to do the Supra Holiday Extravaganza, 12 days of Lego Supra giveaways. And it kind of exceeded our expectations. We were experimenting, as we are still are. But we did a site takeover with a custom campaign banner, and then we had 12 day challenges where we just asked simple call to actions. I don't think people really like to think too much in December. They're tired. So we asked them, like, what's your favorite holiday tradition or your favorite, even favorite super color? So they would have to go to the website and look at the colors and come back, and just super easy questions. And we were really happy with the results. So, you know, 1,300 comments, 17,000 views, 45,000 likes, which is crazy, for 13 posts. But then we decided to do a campaign this summer, so we thought that was really good. But the summer campaign that we did for 16 days this summer was called the Hot Summer of Giveaways. And we know that in the summertime, you know, traditionally it's a slower time for communications across the board, not just at Toyota. People are on vacation, their kids are home, they're more distracted. So we thought, we'll come up with something fun for that. So we got a little prize pack with a cooler and some sunglasses and a coolie and a little USB fan. And we packaged it all up, and then we started doing the same thing. We did a custom banner and all the posts with, you know, simple summer-related conversation starter call to actions. So it was a fun takeover on the site. And then, you know, we promoted it on digital signage as well. And so this time we got 11,000 comments, which really exceeded our expectations. And then the post views were higher. We had 18 posts for this one, so it was a little bit more. And, you know, the likes were only 2,700, but I was really happy with the 11,000 comments. So it's just really fun to test it out and see what we've got. Another campaign planned for December. We're looking at doing a social sharing with LinkedIn kind of campaign for the holidays. So we'll let you know how that one goes. It's an example of some of the call to action prompts that we're doing. You know, just these open posts where you're asking people, tell us how you learned how to drive. You know, we like to do driving themed things, as I'm sure you all have your themed things. And that was super popular, and it was super easy. The dog and the cat photos blow us away every time. We have to do it like, you know, part one, part two, part three, because people just love their pets, and they love to see them on the site. And also, we share it on digital signage as well. So it's that create once, share often strategy that we've heard about since we've been here this week. And we'll put those in a video so that we can do like 30 at a time instead of a slideshow, which I think it's only 16 slides for a slideshow on our platform. And then we just, you know, have share this post so you can win a pair of super socks because everybody loves socks and free stuff. So those are very popular as well. So one of the strategies that we find interesting is our manufacturing plants, you know, they decide when to do their push notifications. And we have best practice meetings with them every other month. So we're always telling them, like, try to push so the people, you know, people know that you're posting and then come to the site. And some of them do it well. Some of them are still working on it. We have our own strategy for corporate. It's focused on our daily digest newsletters, which we put send that out every day, Monday through Thursday, with 3 to 4 posts. And then on Fridays, we do this fun video called Got a Minute, which is what I was alluding to earlier. It's a wrap-up of all the top stories for the week, and so one of our team members goes on video. She uses her iPhone to film it, and she talks about the top stories. She inserts a trivia question in there, so they have to watch the video, and then we put all the links in the post as well, so if people are slow to, you know, read for the week, then on Friday they can do a recap, and then we broadcast that out as well. So we're pushing every day. I know our manufacturing friends don't necessarily want to do that every day because they want to push out really important things that are, you know, related to production, slowdown, shutdown, schedule changes. So we let that, you know, up to them. But for us, that strategy works really well, and it keeps people coming to the site. Yeah, and I also wanted to mention that we have 300,000 views a month. That's what we're averaging. So the strategy does seem to be working, especially since a lot of those are corporate views. So I've talked a lot about the strategies, but now we just wanted to show you kind of a quick video from our managers that are located across the globe. So I just wanted to play this short video for you.
Hi, I'm Betty Horniak, in charge of internal comms at Toyota Motor Europe. What we really love about One Toyota is that it allows us to communicate with all of our employees inclusively and efficiently. We can now reach our shop floor employees as easily as our office workers and engage with them.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Paul, working in internal communications at Toyota Motor Europe. I'm in charge of the pan-European launch of the One Toyota news platform in over 30 countries. With One Toyota, a whole new world of opportunities opened up in terms of collaboration and knowledge sharing on a global scale. It's amazing to see that teams like us, internal comms, who have never imagined speaking to colleagues from another country, let alone from another region, are now in weekly contacts with each other. We are really breaking down silos.
Hi, from Toyota Argentina. One Toyota has been a big change in our internal communication strategy. As for plant team members, we went from nothing to something. We now have a common mobile approach to get our critical information to all our employees. It's been a great experience.
Greetings from Toyota, Mississippi. The One Toyota app is a pivotal piece of our internal communication strategy. It allows us to get messages out to our members quickly and accurately. We utilize it for things such as signing up for events and activities, or if we're telling team members about a production status change. So there's a wide variety of usages for the app, and we'll continue to utilize it, and I highly recommend you do so as well. Thank you for your time.
So to me, that video is amazing because we never used to talk to Europe, to our counterparts there, and suddenly we talk to them almost weekly, but we have bi-weekly calls with them. And the same with Argentina and Brazil. We're regularly speaking with them and answering their questions and supporting their rollout as well. So it's really amazing to idea share like that because they're picking up things from us and we're picking up things from them, and it's really actually super fun. So finally, you know, I don't have to tell this audience this, but I think internal communications is the new driver of company culture. It's really on us to carry that load because we need to meet our employees where they are, whether they're working in the office or at home or on the production floor or they're driving a truck. We need to reach them. And so we also have a lot of new employees who maybe have not even been in the office but a couple of times. So it's up to us to deliver that content on the platform so they get to know the company and the content and engage with the culture and everything that we're posting on there. So we've heard a lot from team members when we finally do see them in the office that, you know, they love learning about the company through the platform. So that's, you know, we have our work cut out for us, but it's also job security, so. All right, that's the end of my presentation, so I'll take any questions. Anyone has anything? Yes.
So I work, there we go. I'm Nicole Pope. I work for Chevron Phillips Chemical Company, and we are experiencing a similar employee base or layout where we have 70% of our employees in manufacturing facilities. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of hesitancy in getting involved in the app, downloading it on their personal device. So do you have any best practices or recommendations to help overcome that?
Yes. So we have encountered that. So, you know, when we worked with training the local plant managers on getting the app, there were several things that they said that worked well. There's the text number, the 75125 number that they said that was the easiest way for their workers to download the app. It was super fast, super easy. And then, you know, we tried to give them some best practices about, well, you need to be posting, you know, several things a day so that's fresh content in there every day. There's a dedicated manager at each site to load that content, and they're responsible for their content. But also put things in there that team members care about. So sadly, again, free things are exciting. So, like, if they have Kings Island tickets, they have the company picnic information. So there's things, there's KPIs in there, there's production schedules, there's the menu, like, that's where people go to. There's quick links in there so they can, you know, easily access their pay stub. So they really had to sell it, you know, and get people. They also set up tables, you know, and help people if they had login issues. It's a single sign-on login, but there's still people with issues with their password. They forget it. It's weak. It resets after 90 days. So all those things, but the support has to be there. And, you know, to be able to answer the questions and then just the value of why they should. But there's always going to be those holdouts. We know that since it's a personal phone. But if it makes their life easier and they can check something and know if they need to come into work that day or if it's, you know, something vital to their job. And I know that's a tricky area, too. You can't just put it. You have to put it in multiple places, but you can put it on the app first, you know, for the giveaways and things like that where people need to come there and, you know, vote. They can vote on things and just make it fun. So I don't know if that helps, but but we have encountered that question several times, and it is a challenge. So good luck. Oh, and for answering the first question, you get a free giveaway. It's a Supra. It was the same one in my first screen there.
Yeah, I was just curious, what is your relationship with your APAC partners and kind of coordinating between messaging going out in the APAC region as opposed to messaging going out in the Americas and Europe and other areas that you operate?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're set up a little bit differently so that each country has a unique location. So while we're global managers, so we can see everything, but they're very in charge of their site, and they do the pushing, and so they get to decide what's pushed out and posted. So we talk with them regularly, and they're very innovative because they didn't have anything before, so they're always experimenting and sharing that with us. But they really have the local autonomy to make all those decisions. I know some sites are global, and we use the Dynamic Signal platform, so it's a little bit of a different setup, and I think we use it kind of uniquely, but we like to give them that local control. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes. Who's got the mic?
I'm Heather Crawley from Phillips 66.
Hello.
And of your 80,000 downloads, do you know how many of those are active on the app in a normal period? Because for us, we have 12,000 downloads, but only maybe 4,000 or 5,000 may be active in the app in a given month. So mm-hmm. Of that 80,000, how many are active on a regular basis?
73% is our monthly average user rate. At our plants, it's very high. We have 8 plants over 7, well, it's almost 80% adoption. So But the monthly average user is a good question, too, because those are also in par or higher at the plants. At corporate as well, it's about 73.
Hello. Hi, I had a question about the earned media statistic that you had up there. Mm-hmm. Are you pushing out earned media through the platform, or you're just, like, how does that compute?
So we encourage social sharing, but only about 5% of our users have connected their social. But of those users, they have a good audience on the external side.
So then you're counting that as earned media?
Yes.
Like what they're posting socially
exactly.
From your platform? Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Lori from Phillips 66. Yeah. I have a question. What are you using to do your live streaming? How are you, what technology are you connecting?
So we use a platform called Kumu, and that's why I have Dave here, because he can answer all the hard tech questions. But so we use Kumu. We do some things on Teams. We do Teams Live. Those are the two main ones. I've learned a lot about these technologies and how they work and how they don't work. But those are the two that work the best for us.
Hi, I have a question about giveaways. You mentioned a lot of great ways that you're giving physical items to employees, and I'm just wondering what kind of things you've overcome being virtual and how you actually get the things to employees and if you have any tips around that.
Yeah, that's a good question, especially during the pandemic. So we work with a local company. We're based in Plano, Texas. So we have a company that we order all of our merch from. And so during the pandemic, they were not as busy. And so they were like, we can fulfill this for you. So they started fulfilling everything for us as well, and so they continue to do that. So we order from them, and then they handle. So we're gathering. We have a Microsoft form that we collect information on if the team member wants it sent to their home, because many people are still working at home, or to the office, and then we fulfill it that way.
Hi, John Magnan with ACCO. You mentioned you guys are sending out, daily pushes. Is there any worry from your end that you're, I guess, overstimulating your audience by sending out content every single day to their inboxes and via push notification?
So that's always a concern, but what we were doing before was way worse because we were using Outlook and it was sending like all different kinds of messages throughout the day. So. And it was multiple. So for us, we see once a day, we send it out around 9:30 or 10. Top three or four stories are in there. It's easy. People expect it. They know it's going to come at a certain time. And then that's it. We don't hit them again, with anything else. So all those things, we used to do things called Good to Know. And we still do Fast Facts. But then a North America update. We had all these different cutely named emails that we would send out. But now we pull all those into the platform, and then we just consolidate them so we don't send them out at once, one at a time, which is what they used to do. So we feel like this is a better case scenario than what was done in the past. But I know less is more, too, so I'm still got to work on that. So.
Hey, this is I'm Dave Demeris from Train Technologies. Mm-hmm. We use First Up, and I know you guys use Dynamic Signal. We've always heard that Dynamic Signal had like a more robust social advocacy feature. Could you talk, I may have missed it, but can you talk more about like what that entails, like how much you get from that as far as like the monetary value?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, 5% of our users have connected their social, and so that's why we're doing that campaign in December to really push, because LinkedIn is a community of business people, so it makes the most sense for us. But We like the feature where you can lock down content, but we also like to share as many things as possible, especially there's an integration with our newsroom we're pulling in to help, often it's product stories, and those play really well externally and any community-related news. So we're doing a lot of that. So on a daily basis, half the posts could be shareable, but right now we're doing our business update meeting, so nothing's shareable because we're just focusing on all internal. So it just depends on the week, but we do like to make things shareable so we can get the information out about our product. Yeah, we can pull metrics on which, every week in our staff meeting, we go over the stats from the week before, and so we measure that very closely, what's being shared, and, collect all the impressions and that kind of thing. So, yeah, we can see that it's doing well.
Hi, I'm Helen Thompson with the Davy Tree Expert Company. I'm just curious, how do you balance what's being pushed out from your other contributors along with what's being pushed out by corporate?
Mm-hmm. Good question. So our group, we have a SharePoint site that we call My Toolbox, and we have the company can submit, everyone in the company can submit submissions through that site, and then we decide those might be like smaller announcements that aren't enterprise of interest to the enterprise. So those will stay on there, and then we put the other things that we feel like should go on our One Toyota site. So we're filtering, we're kind of the first layer of any kind of submission. We work closely with HR. They send their things out separately. We do post some HR-related content around enrollment time and that kind of thing. But the other only other group that's really sending out things is our philanthropy arm, our social innovation team. So they'll send out diversity newsletters and things like that. But we try to coordinate with them so we're not sending at the same time. We're the main group that sends out, and then there are some other groups that do it, but not as often. But we also receive all the information on people who want to do announcements, so we kind of can control that traffic a little bit.
Hello, good morning. My name is Michael from Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, SEPTA. I know that was kind of long, so... So with such a large workforce that you have, how did you, is it voluntary for the employees to participate in this? And if it's not voluntary, what was the communications policy around the implementation, like the usage?
Yeah, it's totally voluntary, but we just try to make it very compelling as to why you should have it. So, and, you know, you know, there's a reason why people need to be informed about what's happening in the company because they can do their jobs better. So you can sell it that way, which is not as exciting. You can also, you know, you want your team members to be experts on your product, so that's a compelling reason to get to know the content because it you need to be informed when people are asking you questions. Well, how does that electric vehicle work? Or what do you think about the new Tacoma? So, you know, we try to frame it in different ways, but really there has to be value for them to come. And so we really just try to promote it from that angle. But we also push the giveaways hard. So once we drive that behavior, then people keep coming. So they just, you know, in the beginning we did our first campaign and only a few people commented. And then, you know, the next campaign it was, they were kind of, I hate to use the word trained, but their behavior was learned. And so they knew they if they participated, they, you know, something good could happen. So... I think it's just a combination of all those things, but it's totally voluntary.
I think we have time for one last question. Oh, in the front. Oh, perfect.
Hi, Vicki Lenz from Wesco. You talked about the plant managers are responsible for pushing out content locally. Do you also push out content to those teams is the first question, and then how do you kind of monitor that to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing?
So we don't push to them, but we do have a shared backend. So what we do is we clone our top posts of the day, and then we put them in a parking lot for them, so then they can pick them out of that folder and put them in their feed, and we encourage them to do that. But they are in charge of the pushing, and we can see what they're doing in the back end, but really they're the experts as to what should be done for their audience. If we see something like there was a new plant that put like spreadsheets as part of their graphic, we're like, yeah, don't do that. That looks really bad, you know. Like, so we try to like give them best practices and guide them. So if we, you know, you could optimize this better, like put a great graphic there and then maybe attach that spreadsheet instead of putting it as the main graphic, you know, things like that. But really, they've really come around to making things look nice visually and also getting the information just the way they present it. Before, they used to attach a lot of PDFs, and then the team member would, you know, if you're on the floor, you have like 5 minutes for your break, and, you know, I'm like, they're not going to download a PDF after they have to click 3 times. Like, think about the user experience. So they've changed the way they communicate because the app is just, you know, works more optimally if you think about that first. So, good question.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. Karen, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
And Karen will be here all day, so if you have other questions, I won't speak on your behalf.
Ask away.
Come find her.